Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, from chapter 11. So let's read from God's Word, John 11. First we'll read verse 1 to 16, which is background, and then the text will be verse 17 to 44. John 11, hear the Word of God. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go, let us also go, that we may die with him." Here our text begins for this morning. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." So far our scripture reading. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, it's always good to learn more about the person, the work, the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can never get enough of him because he is the appointed Savior for us, appointed by his Father. Now, we are in the Gospel of John this morning, and it is good to know before we talk about chapter 11, just to remind ourselves of the Gospel of John, why John included all these specific stories in his Gospel. And I'm sure you know that verse, it's at the end, where he explains what he has done, chapter 20, verse 30. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So whatever is in the gospel included here, the intention is that we would read and we would listen and that we would put our faith in Jesus Christ. And that by doing so, we would have life in his name. Now, it's interesting, if you go through the book of John, and we don't have time to do that, of course, but you will see that very often, John, after he has told a story, a certain event, he will mention whether someone has come to faith in Jesus or not. It starts in chapter 2 with the first sign that Jesus did when he changed water into wine. At the end, it says that his disciples put their faith in him. That's the first instance. And then it goes on, the woman, the Samaritan woman, she also put her faith in him. Then we go to chapter 5. There is the man who was a paralytic at the pool called Bethesda. And in his case, although he was healed by the Lord Jesus Christ, at the end you do not read that he came to faith in Christ. He was healed, he went home, and later Jesus found him in the temple. And then it says that the man went away and told the Jews that Jesus was the man who had healed him. But there is nothing about faith. So there you have an example, in all likelihood, of a man who was healed by Jesus, but it did not cause him to put his faith in Jesus. So anyway, we see that John is very interested and he wants us to know whether someone came to faith in Jesus, because that is also going to be the question for us this morning. Well-known story. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. It's interesting, but the big question is going to be, when you hear this, and when you believe this, do you believe that Jesus did this, and do you believe that therefore Jesus Christ is the Savior, and that we have life in him? That is the question that is asked this morning again. So, I have summarized the message as indicated in the bulletin. The Jesus is the resurrection and the life for all who believe in him. He comforts us, he grieves with us, and he triumphs for us. So first of all, let us see how Jesus comforts his followers, how he comforts Martha and Mary. Now, Lazarus, their brother, probably still a fairly young man. We would call it an untimely death, probably. He died way too young, and as we also experience that sometimes. An untimely death, the family is in shock, and the Lord hears about it. A message is sent to the Lord. And the Lord is on the other side of the Jordan with his disciples. And here is a message telling him that the one you love is sick. And Jesus heard that and he said, this illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God. So he waits a few days. And then, I'd like you to notice this. It says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. So, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. It seems that there is something wrong there. You would not expect the word so. You would expect the word however or yet. Jesus loved Martha and Mary. However, he stayed for 2 more days in the place where he was. Or, if it has to be the word so, you would expect that it would say, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he immediately left the place where he was and went to Bethany. But that's not what it says. And it makes perfect sense in the plan of God and the plan of the Lord Jesus. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was until the man had died, and then he went. Why is that? Well, he had explained that. Because what was going to happen was going to be for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through it, and that people would put their faith in him. So, Jesus starts his work here by delaying. That's the first thing he does. And maybe there is a little lesson already for us here. Sometimes the Lord delays, and we do not understand why he delays. But the Lord always delays for the glory of his Father in heaven, and also for the building up of our faith. Even though we cannot explain that when we are in it, that is something that we can believe and that we ought to believe. So Jesus started by delaying. He waited a few days. But then he came. And then I'd like you to know how the Lord deals pastorally with these two women, these two sisters. It's interesting to note that the Lord, when he comes to Bethany, that he doesn't go right away to the house where all the people are, mourning with Martha and Mary. What the Lord does instead is he goes to the village, waits outside, probably sends a messenger to the house of Martha and Mary, tells them that he is outside the village waiting for them. Then Martha leaves her home and goes to the Lord. So the Lord, in effect, he gives Martha an opportunity to come and speak to him and for him to comfort her in her grief. So that is what happens. Martha comes to the Lord, and the first thing she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Just leaving this conversation aside, what happens then afterwards is when Martha goes home, she tells Mary, and Mary also comes outside to where the Lord is, and the Lord's intention is again to allow her to speak about her grief and to give her the comfort that she needs. This is one aspect of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go to him when we grieve, or when we are anxious, or whatever our need is. And the Lord is pastoral. He has a heart for people who are suffering or grieving, and we can go to him and we will find a listening ear, and we will also hear a comforting word. So let's listen to these words that the Lord is speaking to these two sisters. And we don't have time to look at everything, so I'll just highlight the most important words. When Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Some hear in these words a hint of critique. "Lord, why didn't you come earlier? You should have been here." I don't think that's really what it says. She really only expresses her grief that, "Lord, I know if you had been here, my brother would not have died because you're so powerful and gracious." I don't think she is criticizing the Lord, only expressing her grief. And then she continues, and that proves her positive intent, "But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Then Jesus gives her this answer: "Your brother will rise again." And Martha has heard teaching of the Lord Jesus before. And we could go back to chapter 5, for example, where the Lord speaks about the resurrection in the last day, and that a call will go out and all those who are in the grave will come out. There will be a judgment. So Martha knows this, and she thinks that this is what Jesus is speaking about. So she says, "Yeah, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." She believes the teaching of Jesus, what Jesus had said about the resurrection on the last day. And she can look forward to the day that her brother will rise again. And then Jesus speaks these wonderful words, verse 25 and 26. Words to ponder, words to always remember. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." And there is an emphasis here on those first words. "I am." You know there are more words by the Lord Jesus that starts with these words. "I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life." And here is another "I am." "I am the resurrection and the life." Which means I have it in me. If you come to me, I am the resurrection. I can give you the resurrection and the life. And he continues by saying, "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Now these words almost sound like riddles to us. It's hard to understand. You immediately feel that there's so much depth there. Deep meaning, it's almost hard to put in words. So it's difficult to fully understand, and I think yet we know what the Lord is saying. What the Lord is saying here, or doing here, is to change Martha's focus. She's thinking of the resurrection on the last day. She was right, because that is what Jesus had taught. But now the Lord adds something very important. That the life and the resurrection that Jesus gives, that those things do not come only on the last day, but that they start today. Those who believe in Jesus already experience life and resurrection today, here and now. And that's a message for us as well. If you believe in Christ, your situation is this: whether you live or die, you share in the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ. "Do you believe in me?" Jesus asked Martha. And he asked the same question to us today. Do you believe in me? Even though you die, you will live. Even after you have died, you still live in me. So that question is important. Do you believe this? He doesn't ask, "Do you understand this?" And if you look at Martha's answer, it's clear that she didn't really understand it. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you, and she doesn't repeat his words, are the resurrection and the life. I think that was too big for her, too big of a concept. What she says is, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world. Not exactly a repetition of what the Lord had told her, but clearly expressing her faith that whatever Jesus had said, he will do that, and it will be true. So Martha didn't fully understand what the Lord was saying, but when he said, I am the resurrection and the life, she trusted that promise. That's a promise that we should trust as well. It comes to each one of us this morning. We all feel the power of death in one way or another. As we just heard during the prayer this morning, some of us have lost a loved one. Some of us are feeling it in our own bodies, that life is frail, and that we lose some of our strength. Others are confronted with the illness of a loved one. For others, it's not so much physical death, but the breakdown of life, perhaps relationships, and it takes away our joy, our happiness. And then Jesus comes to us and says, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you have life and resurrection in me. Do you believe this? Now, if you say, yes, I believe this, then it will cause you to do something. And that's what Jesus wants. It will cause you to flee to him, to go to him in prayer, to embrace him and to tell him and say, yes, Jesus, Lord, I believe that you are the life and the resurrection. And I believe that you give life, that you give resurrection, and that we have all this today and forever. Even if you do not understand why your life has to go through certain things, or your loved ones have to go through certain things, you will trust Jesus' intention and Jesus' promise. I am the life and the resurrection. Now, that's not the only thing the Lord does. He also shows his comfort in another way. He shows his comfort also in the fact that he grieves with these people. I'm sure you have noticed that our text tells us three times about the emotions of the Lord. I'm not sure that there is another chapter in the Bible that does this. Three times it tells us about the emotions of the Lord. Verse 33, Jesus sees the people weeping, and Martha, and Mary, and then it says he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. He was really affected by the weeping of these people. And then he asks, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And then verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus weeping. And then it continues, they go to the grave. Verse 36, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave. So three times we read about the emotions of the Lord. One of my professors at seminary told us, we often use this word of John 1 verse 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He said, we could also say, the word became flesh and wept among us. Because that's what the Lord did. He wept among his loved ones, among his people. Now, why did he weep, we might ask? Because in a way, it's a little bit strange. The Lord had already decided that he was going to solve this matter. His friend had died, and he was resolved in his own mind to go to the grave and to call him out and bring him back to life. That was the whole idea. That was how the glory of God was going to be proclaimed. So, there was a positive outlook. He was going to restore the joy for these people. Why then weep, we might ask? Shouldn't he say something like, don't worry, Martha, don't worry, Mary, Let's just go to the grave and you will see what happens. That's not what he does. He weeps with them. Why? Well, first of all, because he is so compassionate. Keep that in mind, brothers and sisters, that more than anyone else, more than your own spouse, more than your own father or mother, more than your own children, more than your best friend, the Lord Jesus is able to feel your hurt. The Lord Jesus is able to feel the hurt of his people when they are grieving and hurting in this world. And as I said before, some of us are doing a lot of weeping, perhaps silently, because we lost someone, or just because life brings a lot of sadness. And then there are others around us who sort of know, but who can really understand the weeping of a believer? It says in Proverbs 14, verse 10, each heart knows its own bitterness. So you know your own bitterness, you know your own grief, but then there is one who knows your grief as well and even better as you do. And that is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Never forget that, brothers and sisters. We may think of it perhaps like this, that if the Lord Jesus were to come down again and visit us here in this setting here this morning, he would be able to just know about each one of us how it is. What is our greatest joy? What is our grief? What is it that we are struggling with? He just knows, and he is compassionate, and it touches him. He is touched in his emotions. Am I still on? Okay. So, he's the one who understands our grief, our sadness. As it says in Hebrews 4, we have a high priest in heaven who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. There's a second aspect. In verse 33, we read it together. It says that Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Deeply moved and greatly troubled. That means he was not just sad, but there was also something of anger. It troubled him to see these people weeping. It troubled him to know that his friend had died. So his sadness was mixed with anger, you might say, when he was confronted with death, the final enemy. And no doubt at this point he was also reminded of the fact that he was sent into the world to face the final enemy himself. After all, in less than a few weeks, Jesus is going to face his own death. And he, being the one who was powerful enough to call someone back from the dead and raise him to life, he would willingly lay down that power that he has, not use it, and submit himself to a shameful death on the cross. So here is the Lord standing in the tomb of his friend Lazarus, who had died. And you can imagine that everything comes together for the Lord. His love for his friends, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. His love for his heavenly Father. His commitment to glorify the Father. The awful reality of sin and its consequences. The consequence of sin is death. Rejection from his own people. His willingness to serve his people from death, knowing that he would have to die a very painful death on the cross. And the Lord must have realized, this is where I will be in a few weeks' time. So here we see the Lord weeping, and we could say here that the Lord is the servant of Isaiah 53. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You know those verses? So let's remember this, brothers and sisters. Remember what your Savior did for you, his suffering, his compassion. Marvel at the fact that he loved us so much that he was determined to be the man of sorrows for us. The man who takes our sorrows upon himself and carries them away as costly as that was going to be. We come to the last aspect, which is where we see the Lord triumph for those who believe in Him. So they have now arrived at the grave, the cave where Lazarus has been buried. And the Lord says this powerful command, "Take away the stone." And immediately, Martha is concerned. She says, "No, Lord, you cannot do that, because he has been dead already for 4 days, so there is a bad smell." By the way, it seems that the Jews had this belief that the spirit of a man who had died would sort of stay with the body for 3 days, and that after that the body would go back, the spirit would go back to the Lord. So after the third day, you were really dead, totally dead. Keep that in mind. So here we are on the fourth day, and Martha knows that when we are on the fourth day, the body has started to decompose and there will be a bad smell. So she's worried when Jesus says, "Take away the stone." But Jesus says, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And he repeats the command, "Take away the stone." So Jesus, we see now why he waited so long. Why he didn't come when Lazarus had just died or even before that. You know that the Lord had also raised the son of the woman at Nain and the daughter of Jairus. But in those cases, he did it on the first day after the person had died. But here he waited till the fourth day, so that everybody would know this person was really dead. He was doubly dead. He's not just dead, but even decomposing. And now the Lord is going to show his power over death. And the Lord thanks the Father. "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." There you have that word "believe" again. I mentioned in the beginning of the sermon, it's always about, do you have faith in Christ? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? So here we now see Jesus. We've heard his teaching, we've heard his promise, and now we see his power over death. The majestic call sounds, "Lazarus, come out." And it must have been wonderful to be there. The dead man comes out of the cave, stumbling around with linen strips still wrapped around him, and Jesus says, "Unbind him and let him go." Now we maybe are inclined to ask some questions here. Where was the soul of Lazarus while he was dead? Was his soul already in heaven? And was he pulled back from heaven to come back to earth? That would be quite sad in a way. Did he remember then anything he had seen in those 4 days? Well, that's curiosity, I guess. And the Word of God does not address these questions. What is important for us is to reflect on this miracle and remember the words of Jesus, "I am the resurrection and the life." That's a promise, that's a saying, and it asks for faith. But now Jesus has given proof that he really is the life and the resurrection. And he didn't raise everyone who had died, but Lazarus he did, because he loved him and he wanted to show God's glory. And then he asked Martha this question, "Do you believe that I am the resurrection of the life?" I'm sure Martha had no hesitation at all to say, "Yes, Lord, I do believe," especially after she had seen what the Lord did, raising her brother from the dead. And what about you and me? We know a lot more even than Martha and Mary knew. We know that the Lord himself died and that he was raised from the dead.
and that he was seen by many people, and that he then ascended into heaven, we know that the Lord Jesus is alive and well, and that he is ruling the church, and that he is gathering his church from all nations around the world. It's still a matter of faith, of course, because we were not at that moment when he raised Lazarus from the dead. But we do know more than Martha and Mary knew. We know about Good Friday. We know about Easter. And there is much that still needs to happen yet. Perhaps we often struggle in our lives. Perhaps we sometimes lack joy and happiness because sometimes we do not fully embrace these wonderful promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we could only do that, if we could really believe it when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Just believe in me and you will experience this. I will share this with you. I think life would be a little easier for us. So the question comes to you and me, brothers and sisters, this morning. It's a beautiful story. It's interesting, but it's more than that. It is a testimony. John included it in his gospel so that we would believe what Jesus says when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Let's break then with a half-hearted commitment to Jesus. Let's ask the Lord to forgive us that we are often self-centered and too focused on things of this world, even chasing worldly pleasures. Let's ask him that he would give us his Holy Spirit, that we would focus on Jesus and that we would rejoice in the life that we already share with him today and which is only going to become better in the future. A life which extends beyond the grave. Amen.